Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for being here. This is George Wilder Jr. George Wilder Jr. broadcasting live from the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. And it's as always, it's always a beautiful day in this city where I call home. For now, anyway, because it's so much stuff going on. It's just phenomenal. But putting that all aside, it's a great day. It's wonderful. 6:01 straight up Chicago time, CDT time. And like I've always said, you miss one of my shows, you miss a hell of a lot. There's no guest today. I am the guest. But hopefully we can get on a few people in the near future. So still stick with me because there's always a lot to say, a lot to cover, and a lot to report. You know, and this is the George Wilder Jr. Show broadcasting live from Chicago. Thank you. Let's violence in Chicago and high taxes. Yes. You know, I almost really kind of hate to see the weekend come around because seeing the weekend come around in the city of Chicago and in some other within the United States, it's always a time where people are going to die senselessly. So we're going to get on that and talk about that and a lot of other things as the show progresses. But right now we have something breaking news or whatever, you know. The Pope is in America. And that's something. The Pope is in America and he addressed a joint session the U.S. Congress. Did you see Boner, Boehner? Some people call him Boner, some call him Boehner. The guy was crying. He probably was crying because he needed a drink and couldn't get to the bar on time or something to get a drink. But the town, and he's still here, and I'm hearing that he's going to give a prayer session and all of that kind of thing live in Washington. I think in his motorcade, and he was flanked by, wow, Secret Service men up the kazoo. I mean, they were all around him, you know, as if he was actually Jesus Christ returning to earth. And, I think, okay, for my new book coming up. And it was a, it's an event, this guy. I wasn't going to talk about the Pope, but This is really a phenomenal thing. It's everybody's covering it. Everybody's talking about it. That's why I thought, hey, we're going to talk about the Pope show. Not that long, not for that duration of time, but just to let you know that I try to hit everything I can that's breaking news in the United States and around the world, because this show is the talk about time. And you miss a show here, you miss quite a lot. Okay? All right. So if you can't listen live, you don't have to listen live. You can always podcast the show. You can click on it and click on my website, go to it and just click on it and just listen. You don't even have to download it. Just listen right there on your internet or on whatever you have at the time and listen to the show. You know, I mean, you can listen to the show walking down the street or whatever, in the park, you know, in the beauty shop, you know, in the mall or whatever. But listen to the show. It's a good show, and I should know because I'm the producer and the talk show host and the writer, and I do all the music, the audio clips. I, you know, make up all the questions for the guest on the show. So I have a right to do your show because I'm even investing in it. So, well, if it's think or fail, it's nobody to blame but myself, right? Okay. All right, here we go. This is George Wilder Jr. of George Wilder Jr. Show. I just got through talking about the Pope in America. I mean, people are excited for this. This is excitement. It is, even though he's not in the city of Chicago, but just by being in the United States itself, and there are so many people, religious people, Christians, all kinds of faiths, who are sitting, gathering around their television screens, big, small, aware, old, new, and enjoying this moment. And what is the Pope talking about? He's talking about peace, loving your neighbor, loving thy neighbor, you know, peace, hopefully, no violence, poor, you know, don't step on your poor, love your neighbor, things like that, things in that kind of frame. And there are so many people around the United States and around the world loving that kind of thing because it's not happening. Maybe the Pope will inspire Republicans, these rotten politicians, to stop stepping on the backs of the necks of the poor. Stop cutting funding from programs. But you got a lot of these politicians who are just going to be dead fast in their hate for the poor. And there's so many people now, especially Fox News, criticizing the Pope. I mean, what else can you expect from Fox News criticizing the Pope? You know, and a lot of these guys on Fox News, they're withholding their judgment because they don't want to be asked for saying something negative about the Pope. I don't know where Fox Cable News, I don't know where they pick up these people to put in front of the camera and just sprout these lies and stupidity on the air. Where do they find these people? They're called pundits or anchors, news anchors. Where do they find these people? They get these people from anywhere and put them on television. They say something dumb. But I guess that's the point, is to say something stupid enough where you're going to get a lot of attention where you weren't getting attention before. And this is what happens because I really don't like to see them or news criticizing something that's good, decent, and pure as the Pope being in the United States. But you got these assholes on Fox just waiting to pounce. Okay, he was seeing the Pope with him 4 or 5 times, if not more. And the Republicans are criticizing that. They're saying Obama is making the Pope political, and the Pope is not political. But he knows the gap between those who have and those who have not. Those who don't have anything, he knows that. But these guys on their high heels criticizing Pope, a man of faith, a man of man. They wish they had the notoriety and popularity as this guy has, Francis, Pope Francis. All right, this is George of the George Wilder Jr. Show, And I'm from the city I love, and I love the city of Chicago, even though I hate the politics in this town. I really despise the politics in this town. A governor that doesn't give a damn about having a balanced a budget for this town, not just a budget, period. He doesn't give a damn. He doesn't care. He don't care if you don't like it. He doesn't give two dams about a budget for Illinois. We're going into the third month, if not about budget in place, and nobody is talking, is going on in this town about a budget. People already closed their doors. People have been laid off. There are some people who are working but not getting paid work because they are dedicated to their jobs, but they can't keep doing it because the rent is due. So every day, because their clients need them, but they can't keep going because they have bills to pay. They got rent to pay, maybe a mortgage to pay. They have food to buy, kids to take care of. They cannot keep working for nothing. They have hearts. They care about the people that they care about, that they take care of. And yet, these assholes, I'm talking about Madigan, Cullerton. Madigan and Cullerton, they have been putting budgets on their desk, on his desk. Who signed them? He signed a budget that pay out lottery. Yeah, lottery winners cannot get their winnings because this asshole will not sign a budget saying they should get their winnings. So a lot of the lottery winners are suing Rauner, but that's not moving him. That he doesn't give a damn. He doesn't care. And no matter how much you scream, I scream, the man just sits back and laughs. He's a mean, vindictive, out of control, and corrupt governor who has a job for this state, and he should be thrown his ass completely out of office. People have to get up. They have to get mad. You got to get angry. I mean, there's people right now protesting this guy. Downtown Chicago, Springfield. But it's, I mean, 10 or 20 people going downtown or to Springfield. That's not enough. He's just sitting back laughing at them. You need not 10 or 20 people. You need 10 or 20,000. 20 million people, something that's going to move the state. It's just a damn shame that this state is being taken under by a guy who never ran for office of nothing in his whole life. And yet, he's taking the state under, and then he's trying to blame. He's the governor, he takes the blame. What he's trying to do, he's trying to set this state up to fail so he can blame it on the Democrats so he can try to get them in the General Assembly. He wants to make it Republican. He's serious about making this state Republican. He wants to bust unions. He wants to bust unions. He wants to get rid of unions. Why? There's only one reason why he wants unions. He wants to bust unions because they are damn powerful. They are too powerful. They are the ones who can make and break an election, and he doesn't like it. He's holding this state hostage until he's not going to sign up. They give him in the General Assembly until they give him the power to bust unions. Well, after he busts his unions, they give him the power, he's going to let the state go. He's going to let the people go. But like I said before, a lot of the things have already happened. There's no going back. A lot of people who were getting entitlement programs aren't getting those programs anymore. Food stamps cut, if not eliminated. Rental assistance has been cut, if not eliminated. The only reason why social services are being funded right now in the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois is because of the courts governing the state of Illinois, not the governor, Bruce Rauner, and not Springfield, and that's a damn shame. If the courts are legislating governing Illinois, then the rest of these people aren't doing their jobs. But I lay this flatly at the doorstep of Bruce Rauner, because the guys in the legislature, they come up with budgets. They come up with the cuts, some of the cuts that he wants. And he says that's not enough. He wants more. He wants the damn unions. And the legislature refuses the unions. And I don't think he feels that the legislature wants tax cuts. He wants the legislature to improve tax cuts. I mean, what I'm saying, higher taxes. He wants the legislature to the state of Illinois so he can say, Democrats raised your taxes, vote them out. It's all political with this guy. Political. He's the worst mayor. He's the worst governor, state of Illinois. And I'm not the only one who's. I'm a reasonable guy. If I thought he was a good person, a caring, or a straight up person, or a good leader, a good governor, I would say that. He's a lousy hack. That is a shame, because so many people in this town are suffering this guy, and he just doesn't give a good goddamn, pardon my French, okay? But I'm very passionate about this. It's just awful that there is no movement on either side at trying to solve these problems in the state of Illinois. There's no movement. No damn movement, and we still have not got a budget in this town. Nobody, but people are suffering. And Pope is in town, Pope Francis, and he's saying, in so many words, stop the damn bickering, stop the BS, get a budget, fund these programs. But they're not going to do it because they don't give a damn. They don't care. You know, they don't give a damn about anything. They have no feelings for people. And it's not that I'm a bleeding heart liberal. Believe me, I am not a bleeding heart liberal. It's just that I live in the state of Illinois, and I just brought down to his knees because we got a ignorant-ass governor. All he wants is bus unions. And as mean, as nasty, and as vindictive as he can be. I'm sorry. This is the George Wilder show you're listening to. I'll be right back. I'm going to take a small break. Stay with me. All right, here we go. Testing. All right. You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening, and stay with me. All right. Okay. Wow. How can I say this? Two or three days ago, a beloved author passed away. And I was in shock when this happened. I heard about this. She was a beloved author. She was a romance author. And she infused crimes and crime and suspense into her romance. I thought she was one of the best, if not the greatest, romance writer of all time. I mean, she passed away at the age of 77. And the reason why it was such a shock to me, because I have some of her material in my studio right here. I have books by her, paperbacks, hard covers. I mean, I have writings by her, and I'm going to tell you, it is steamy. She written some of the most steamiest novels, but I'm not too much on reading romance, but I still am a fan of Jack Collins. She's a superb writer. She's a superb storyteller. She doesn't try to be perfect. She doesn't try to be what she was Jackie Collins. You know, and that's what you liked about her. She was Jackie Collins, and she was beautiful. I would say anybody who is an avid reader, whether it's no matter what you read, pick up, if you haven't heard about Jackie Collins, she's got a lot of stuff out there. And all of it's basically superb. And I just had to mention her on this show. I may have mentioned her on the last show or something, but I just had to mention her on the show. I think she deserves that. And I wish I could have had her as a guest on the show to talk about work. I wish I could have done that. And I don't know if she would have accepted or not, but at least I could have asked. But it's too late for me to try to ask now. But anyway, there have been a lot of passing of authors lately, and it always saddens me when an author passes, because I'm an author. So I kind of, you know, we're kind of like brothers and sisters in the word, as I constantly say sometimes. And Jackie Collins was one of the best writers. You know, if you read her stuff, you would know that that's in her books. She, like I said, she infuses her stuff with crime, suspense. She keeps you on the edge. She keeps you turning pages. Like I've said before, I have read one or two of her books, and I want to read it again. And once I want to go out and run out and get a book or a book book I don't have by her. But she was such a great person. I haven't reviewed any of her books, but maybe I'm going to start, because I do have some that I've read, and I'm going to review her. I just so surprised that she passed away. You know, she was 77 years old. She passed away from breast cancer. I have something I want to read. Jackie Collins, a best-selling author. Excuse me. Let me try that again. Jackie Collins, a best-selling author of a dozen steamy novels. Yes, she was steamy. Believe me, I couldn't believe it. But I don't know if you can say clean sex. I think it was clean sex. It wasn't deviant sex. It wasn't crazy sex or just weird sex. It was kind of, she wrote clean, steamy novels who depicted boardrooms and bedrooms of Hollywood, of the Hollywood's power crowd. Okay, the elite, Hollywood elite. She died Saturday of breast cancer at the age of 77. Her family, younger sister of actress Joan Collins, she died in Los Angeles. Spokesman Melly Corbett. Wow, it is with tremendous sadness that we announced the death of our beautiful, dynamic, and one of the kind mother, Jackie Collins, today. That was a family member. Jackie Collins, who wrote about characters driven by lust, power, and greed, sold more than 5,000 million copies of her book in 40 countries and has some 30 New York Times bestsellers. She was something else. She sold, she wrote, and she was a great, great person. Here's a quote by Jackie Collins. She said, "I am a storyteller. I am, maybe I can say that too. Maybe I can be a literary writer. I'm just a writer. You know, I'm like Jackie Collins. I'm a storyteller. I like to tell stories. You know, and I like to tell stories with some gut. I like to tell stories that people are going to take with them and remember. You know, I try to keep the book instilled in that reader's mind so that reader can say, wow, that's George Wilder Jr. He wrote a great book. I can't wait to read his next one. Well, I'm going to go back and I'm going to read previous material that he has written." That's what I like. And I think that's what I thought of Jackie Collins is doing, as just, you know, pouring it on. And like me, I just like myself, Jackie Collins put a lot into her books. You know, even my books, you know, short stories, essays, I put everything in there but the kitchen sink. Sometimes one of my novels, I actually do have the kitchen sink in there. But, you know, you have to go check that out. Some of her most successful novels included the 1983 Hollywood Wives, women living glamorous lives behind the scenes of an industry, and the 1985 Lucky. I have Lucky. And 1990 Lady Boss. I don't think I have Lady Boss. I think I've once owned it. From her series on the Ravishing and Ambitious, who was born into an organized crime family. See, she has all of that. But she talks about, and basically in her book, she talks about rich people and their problems, you know. And it's, I really am. And that this will probably be the last time I talk about it because I'm poor. But she was just such a wonderful person, a very wonderful person. And if you haven't read Jackie Collins, please go out and pick up something by her. You have to get the very latest thing. You can get something, you know, something that she written in the past. Big past work is just as good as her current work. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, talking about the passing of Jackie Collins, also talking about the Pope in America. Pope in America. And it's really heartening to see and to hear people criticize and try to say things about him that's not the Pope, just because they want to bring the Pope down. With Obama, they're going to try and bring both Obama down, and they aren't crap themselves, you know. So the Pope in America, I think that's a big story. Even though talking about violence in Chicago, violence around the world, domestic violence, and all of that kind of thing. But you know, sometimes the breaking news and a lot of that. But since I'm gonna get into that stuff later, but I'm gonna continue to talk about the Pope because, you know, I mean, he has a heart. He cares about people. He cares about poor people. That's all of it. That's the same thing Jesus did. Jesus cared about poor people, healing poor people, forgiving sin. And I'm not a church person. I barely go to church. I'm not putting it down. I'm just something I just haven't found the time to do, or just maybe there's a time in the future I could, you know, start going. But we do go to church, okay? I have gone. Sometimes we do go to church. But I admit sometimes we go to holidays like Easter or something like that, or maybe Christmas Eve or whatever. But it's not like every Sunday or either every other Sunday. It's maybe like once or twice a year, something like that, you know. And I know that's wrong. I know that's wrong. But when you're living a busy life and everything is just kind of haywire and hacked out, and you try to do the best you can. A little bit. I mean, if you do some of it, it's better than doing none of it at all. Okay. George, Chicago, and we're talking about violence in Chicago and high taxes. Okay, we're going to get to that later. Violence in Chicago. I mean, on this topic, I think every day since I've had this show, every day and on every show, if you go back and you archive that stuff, you say, well, George talked about violence. He's talking about violence again. He said, yeah, but I have to talk about it because it seems like nobody's listening. Okay, and then you have, and that coincides with high taxes and funding cuts. You know, how can you cut these officers on the street? You're cutting officers, you're cutting their pay, you're raising taxes, and there's so much violence on the street. I get tired of hearing every weekend 8 or 9 people were shot, 40 or 50 people injured by bullets. And you're telling yourself, where the hell is the police? Where is the police? The guys we were paying, picking up paychecks of our money, of our taxpayer money. I said it a million, zillion times. We know that crime in low, it's all over the city, but basically it's based in the west sides and the south, in those war zone, in those war-torn communities, where the guys with the young, the baggy pants drooping below their asses, carrying guns, threatening, raping, you know. They need to saturate those kind of communities. Even the National Guard, the United States Army, saturate those neighborhoods. You know where the drug dealers are. You know where the gangbangers are. The police know who they are, but yet they let these guys sit and stay to wreak havoc later on. And they're telling themselves after the fact, well, I should have arrested the dirtbag. But it's too late. He shot a little girl. You have to hold on the violence. Or the entire city of Chicago is going to become a war zone. You don't stop the violence on the south and west sides of the city. It's going to permeate throughout the whole city. It's going to... Because the bad guys are running from the south side to the north side. The bad guys from the north side are running from the west side to the east side. You have to stop it. In its root, it comes from not having jobs, not having hope. It comes from young girls playing around with thugs and having babies and pushing out babies, and the babies grow up to shoot each other. There's a lot of reasons why we have high crime values. People are marching every day and begging and pleading, put down the gun, stop the shooting. The more we do that, the more these guys pick up guns and shoot somebody. And the thing about it, the murderer perpetrating these crimes, getting away with killing and shooting people, they get away. They don't get caught. If a person doesn't get caught, if a criminal gets caught shooting someone, then that criminal is free to shoot again. If these guys are committing crimes, get them off the street immediately, because if you don't, they're going to do it again and again and again until they're caught. If they are caught. George Wilder Jr. of George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm going to take a break. We're talking about violence in Chicago. I have a... someone asked me one day, George, how do you think people, criminals, get guns? We know they're not eligible for them. We know they don't have the credentials. How do they get the guns, George? And I have a clip I want to play on this show. It's should explain how some of these criminals, these dirtbag thugs, wind up with a gun. Here we go.
All this week, the debate has continued over guns and violence in America. But amid all the talk about background checks, magazine clips, there is one statistic you should know. A huge percentage of the guns out on the street are stolen, and hundreds of thousands of those turn out to be stolen from homes in your neighborhood. ABC Senior Justice Department correspondent Pierre Thomas decided to investigate.
You're looking at a New Mexico Walmart on Christmas Day. Mass thieves stealing rifle after rifle. This is a robbery in progress in Colorado. But these young crooks are not there to steal cash. They're there for the gun. And watch as thieves in South Carolina ram this stolen SUV right through the front door of this gun store. See right there? That's a rifle. Smash and grabs at gun stores happening across the country.
Gun stores are the candy store for criminals.
Nearly 25,000 guns per year are lost or stolen from gun dealers. But it may surprise you that an estimated 230,000 guns annually, roughly 10 times more, are stolen in home burglaries and property crimes. Watch these thieves caught on tape breaking into a California home. Jackpot. They find a gun.
Any burglar that goes in a house and finds guns, their eyes are going to light up, and that's the first thing they're going to take.
Some estimates show nearly half of American adults owning guns, and the crooks know it, breaking into homes for the hot commodity. Stolen guns like these recovered in an ATF sting often flow right into the hands of criminals, including convicted felons who are prohibited from buying or possessing firearms.
Talk to any criminal. They can find a gun within an hour or two. If a gun is stolen and it's a cheaper price model, you can buy it for $50.
Getting calls for gunshots in the area.
We saw evidence of the deadly pipeline firsthand during a recent trip to Philadelphia.
Gun arrests are made every single night.
In all, six people shot in a span of only a few hours. Nearly 3,000 people were shot here last year. 3,500 guns recovered, many of them stolen.
The detective ran this particular gun and it came back stolen. Back in 2005.
Really?
So it's been on the street for 7 years now.
With the debate raging, if some guns get harder to buy, authorities say it will be even more important for retailers to fortify their buildings. And to gun owners at home, police say keep your guns out of public view and secure in a safe. Pierre Thomas, ABC News, Washington.
All right, that's one of the ways criminals guns. And another way a criminal can get a gun is that they have some guy or some woman who have the credentials, who have a concealed and carry permit, who are eligible to buy guns. They go in a gun store, they buy about 10 guns or 50 guns, and they come out and they sell guns maybe for $50 to $100 to gangbangers. Law-abiding people, gangbangers. Another way that this thing happens. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. George Wilder Jr. Show. I'll be right back, and we're going to talk about all right, thanks, everybody. You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening, and stay with me. All right, we're going to have a clip here on the budget in the state of Illinois. A rally. Listen, people. Okay. All right. This was against Bruce Rauner.
What do we want? Right now.
Let me just say this. While we become outraged with all the violence in Chicago, we've got to connect the dots. It is no coincidence that homicides are up and shootings are up. This weekend, 2 killed, 45 shot this weekend. And all this is going on while the governor has cut all summer employment jobs and while the governor has ended all anti-violence jobs in this state. It's no coincidence when you're on the street and you're abandoned by the government why violence is up in this city and why violence is up in this state. The governor is a co-conspirator of what's going on right now in the streets of Chicago. We got to make him understand that Illinois is not another business investment of his. Illinois is a state where there's people whose lives are at risk. Don't treat this like some business investment, Bruce. Treat this like there's people who elected you. This is our money. This is tax money. We have a say so in what happens with this.
How dare this man close the doors on our children? What's the difference in what he's doing now than Bull Connor did back in the day? We're not going to take it, ladies and gentlemen. The governor wants to balance the budget off of poor people, off of handicapped people, off of the mentally ill. Ladies and gentlemen, he wants to balance the budget off our baby. But guess what? Have you ever heard him talking about telling his corporate people to take a pay cut?
No.
Have you ever heard him talk about reducing some of those corporate loopholes?
No.
Have you ever heard him talking about, okay, we have been in the crisis here in Illinois. It's not the Republicans' fault. It's not the Democrats' fault. It's really the economy. And everybody has not been paying their fair share. There's some boys on the sales street that make billions of billions of dollars. And I'm like the governor, quite frankly. I don't want to raise taxes, but I want everybody to pay their fair share. And they are making some transactions that they're not paying taxes on. So the only thing I'm saying to the governor, make sure that everybody's in, including my baby, and nobody's left out, including your friends. So with that being said, Mr. Governor, let us go back to Springfield. You want a budget? Let's talk about a budget. Let us gather the money from the guys on LaSalle Street and let's have a financial transaction tax. And then when we get finished doing that, Mr. Governor, let's develop our own bank like North Dakota. And if that's not enough, Mr. Governor, let's get rid of the insurance industry and have a single payer health care so everybody can truly be in and nobody be left out.
Don't mess with my children. You know something, we don't have to put up with a bully. A bully cannot win when people stand together. A bully cannot win when you're standing with your brothers and your sisters. A bully can't win when you build coalitions in the neighborhood. A bully only wins when you let them. Right now we have a coalition of individuals because we understand what Governor Rauner does not understand, and that is everything is connected. We are connected to one another. Child care is connected to a good education. Education is connected to health care, because you're not going to learn if you're sick. You're not going to learn if you're hungry. That's connected to a good job. That's connected to this state. This is not about one person who doesn't want to turn us around. He wants to turn us backwards. We are not going backwards. This is not we're going to be standing up here in the street, dancing, working for free. This is our state. This is not Ronnerville. This is not Brook City. No, this is the city and the state of the people of Illinois that deserve the best that it has to offer. We are not going to be held hostage. We're not going to be held against our will. Our children are not going to be the cannon fodder to fight your fight. This is something that needs to be addressed. We want the governor as your voice and as your ears down in Springfield. We want the governor to come to the table not talking about things that doesn't need. We don't need to be talking about remapping. A budget has nothing to do with remapping. It doesn't have to be a term limit. It's called come out and vote. Get the vote. That we need to be talking about, how do we fund those essential things that make us competitive, not only in the United States, but in the global economy. This is not about being a vulture capitalist. Who do you know, where do you know that a CEO tears down his own business just so he can make more money? Vulture capitalists. That's what they do. This is not a vulture capitalist situation. This is a budget about people, the budget about numbers, or that in his mind, a budget about numbers. There's a face on every dollar that's in the budget. And we want those dollars spent on the things that we need to be the citizens that we can be. And that is making sure that we have not only daycare, but many of you also know we need people working night care. Because this is a 24-hour city, it's a 24-hour fight, and we're going to stay in it for 24 hours as long as it takes. So let's stay together, let's stay connected, and we beat the bully.
Now that's what I like to hear. That's the kind to hear against this governor. This guy, he is just not doing his job. I like that. Those are good rallies. We need more of those. We need more of those kinds of speakers down there getting in this governor's ass. Is he listening? Hell no. No, he's not. But he's not. He's got one pet peeve, and the unions. That's his biggest. He's got others, but that's his biggest. This is not Wisconsin. Scott Walker has jumped into a race. I guess that broke Bruce Rauner's heart because he wants to, I've been hearing he wants to be like Scott Walker. Scott Walker, maybe he should resign his governorship of this state because he truly is not doing anything. He's not talking to the people. When he does speak, he comes out to a lone microphone by himself with a couple of television cameras, and he says what he has to say, and he leaves. He doesn't take questions. He doesn't take time for reporters. He doesn't take time for the people of this state. The only thing he's thinking is about busting unions and making this state a Republican state. How in the hell are you going to make this Republican state when you got everybody in this state hating your guts? Even Republicans can't stand him because a lot of his policies or his non-policies of a work ethic is also affecting Republicans, also affecting the people stupid. And a lot of them are saying they wish they had not voted for him. 2018 is too damn long to be out of office. There needs to be some sort of a recall on this guy. He's not doing his job. He's working against the people of Illinois. He's working against everybody. He's not working for us. He's working against us. This is a damn shame that this state, this beautiful state in Illinois, has been brought to his damn knees because of this guy doesn't want to pay the state's bills. And just like I said in the earlier part of the show, we are standing tall because of the federal courts, not because of being by Bruce Rauner and the Illinois legislature. These guys aren't doing crap, but the legislature is doing more than Rauner. Obviously, the legislature can override a lot of the things that Rauner is not doing. They can override this and get a budget, but they know that that's what Rauner wants them to do because they want to raise taxes. So if they override with taxes in the budget, that's going to be a slogan for Rauner is that the Democrats raise taxes, and that's going to give him an in to try to make this Democratic legislature in Illinois a Republican legislature. I can see it. I can see what you're saying, and they're right, because he wants to make this Republican state. In 8 years, he's going to have it a Republican. Obviously, if he say 8 years, he's thinking about being reelected. Ain't no damn way elected. Not in this state. Once he's out, he is out. He's thinking about running again. He may be thinking about running for president. It ain't going to happen. I'm here to tell Mr. Bruce Rauner it's not going to happen. You do not have a work ethic. You have something against the poor. You have something against the middle class. You have something against people in general. You have something against this state. You're not doing your damn job. You're thrown out of office. You're not. And you know what? And he knows he's not doing his job. You know what? He's going, I can't do my job is because the Democrats won't give me what I want. And what you want is to bust unions. You want a right-to-work state come in Illinois and destroy it. We're not going to let you. You can't come in this state and demand that we bend over backwards for you. Are you nuts? And I'm surprised that the Democrats don't have enough backbone to issue subpoena to staff and have them come before the General Assembly and answer a lot of questions about funding and their salaries. This guy done paid a lot of money out to his cronies and his employees while claiming Illinois is dead broke, stopping payment on so many other programs that are needed by vulnerable people in the state. But the guy doesn't give a damn about what's going on in this state, and he does not. He doesn't give a. He doesn't care. You know, and I don't know how you can make him care. You know, people are pleading for him to compromise. They're pleading for him to come talk about the budget. They're pleading for him to have some sort of rational sense about it. He should have never been voted in office. He should have never been deserved. He doesn't need it. He's just not a person. He's not political must. He's nothing. He's a waste of time, and he's ruining the state, but I hope the Democrats stand firm and not let this guy take this state under. They could override anything he proposes. And this is how the Democrats lose. They have to pretend. They got to say, this guy is not governing. We're going to have to govern. But somehow they need his signature on these budget proposals, and he needs a signature because I don't think they have enough votes to override a lot of the things he wants. But one of the things Rauner has veto. I mean, not veto, but executive powers. That means some of the laws that he can implement just by signing. Just by his signature. It doesn't have to have congressional approval or a general assembly. You know, he can do things without them, and they can do them. That's the thing. They can do things in this state without the general assembly, and the general assembly act as if they can't do anything without Rauner, and that's a lie. Each one of those branches are independent branches. Those branches depend. Rauner doesn't sign a budget. They can come up with a budget. They can pass that budget only if they have enough votes to override him. And there's so many Democrats in the legislature that have they've turned coat. You know, I mean, they voted for the ones that's going to have their asses out in November because they, too, were not job. When you vote against your own interests, when you vote against the people who put your ass in office, you do what you want to do and not what they want you to do, you're out. You can't do that. And no matter how many telephones you jump on and try to explain yourself, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. to happen. You're out of there. You know, and I mean that. You are out of there. This is George Waldo Jr. of the George Waldo Jr. Show. It's 57 straight up. It's dark outside, but it's a beautiful day. And the Pope is in town. And I'm pretty sure right now he's, as I'm on the air, I could probably go to the computer and find out what's going on. But he's giving prayer services, I believe, somewhere in New York City. Now he's in New York. My son told me he was going to be in Philadelphia. That could be possible. That could be a possibility. But it's a good thing that the Pope is in the United States. Okay. All righty. This is George Waldo Jr. of the George Waldo Jr. Show. I'm going to take a break right here. See if we can find Oh, yeah. They're trying to Planned Parenthood. They didn't already voted against it. But it's not going to be passed because Obama's not going to sign it. And so, they, as always, the Republicans in Congress just waste time, waste your money, waste my money, trying to do things that are never going to get passed. But they keep doing it. Okay, here is something. Here's a clip on the tax hike, the massive tax hike that Mayor Rahm Emanuel is proposing in the city of Chicago, and I'll be right. I listen to this.
Chicago
everybody.
Mayor Rahm Emanuel on Tuesday laid out a stark choice for the cash-strapped city as he proposed a 2016 budget aimed at resolving a financial crisis linked to unfunded pensions, either slash vital public safety and other services, or enact the biggest ever property tax increase. In a half-hour speech to Chicago's 50 aldermen, Emanuel said spending cuts would mean reducing 20% of the police force, closing 48 fire stations and laying off 40% of the city's firefighters. In short, if we were to fund our pensions with cuts alone, our city services would become unreliable. Our city would become unlivable. And that would be totally unacceptable, he said, promising his plan would wipe out Chicago's structural budget deficit within the next 4 years. Emanuel, who was elected to a second term in February, proposed a $543 million increase in property taxes, between now and 2018, to cover police and fire pensions. Facing a budget shortfall that could hit $745 million, Emanuel is also proposing a per-ride surcharge on taxi and ride-sharing services to raise $48.6 million and a new monthly garbage fee of $9.50 per household to gain $62.7 million. Garbage pickup is currently free for residences. While Emanuel's proposals usually pass the city council easily, the property tax hike may meet resistance. Every time there was a property tax increase of any size, there has been an aldermanic revolt, said Dick Simpson, political science professor at University of Illinois at Chicago and a former alderman in the 1970s. Ed Burke, chairman of the city council's finance committee, said aldermen will have opportunities in the coming weeks to see if there are other solutions. Public service requires people to display courage and take tough votes, and this is a tough vote, Burke told reporters after the mayor's speech. Alderman Scott Wagsback, a member of the council's small, but vocal progressive caucus, said the property tax increase will be hard for taxpayers to swallow. We've offered, the mayor, specifically at least 24 revenue streams and other options, waste, and inefficiencies, that can be fixed, and we just haven't seen it in this proposal, he told reporters. If the third largest U.S. city cannot get its finances under control, Chicago faces further downgrades by credit rating agencies, thus making it more expensive to raise funds through bond sales. Moody's Investors Service, which has already cut the city's credit rating to junk, said on Tuesday it would withhold comment until a budget is passed. The mayor's overall budget for the fiscal year beginning January 1 totals $9.32 billion, which includes $3.63 billion of spending on operations. Emanuel said the lion's share of the higher property tax burden would be on owners of more costly homes and commercial buildings. But that depends on whether Illinois lawmakers approve an expanded property tax exemption for owners of homes valued at $250,000 or less. A House hearing on the idea is scheduled for Thursday. Alderman Brendan Riley, who represents the downtown Central Business District, said piling more taxes onto businesses risks pushing the city's economy to a tipping point. In addition to the expanded exemption, Emmanuel is counting on the state to enact a law to lower the city's contributions to its police and fire pension funds, which are due to spike starting this year. However, the city's requests have become entangled in the Illinois budget standoff between the Republican governor and Democrats who control the legislature. Governor Bruce Rauner wants to temporarily freeze local property taxes, while giving local governments ways to save money, including curbing collective bargaining with their workers, a move strongly opposed by Democrats. Meanwhile, the city council could as soon as Thursday approve bond sales for Chicago, including a restructuring and refunding of $500 million of general obligation bonds and $2 billion of new and refunding revenue bonds for O'Hare Airport. In the wake of credit downgrades, the city has had to pay a stiff penalty to sell its bonds. Nothing about this particular budget proposal is going to change our view on the city, said Andrew Clinton, president of Clinton Investment Management.
$88 million property taxes. That's what he's looking at. That's what we're looking at. High taxes. The highest taxes in Illinois, Chicago history is what this guy is proposing. Okay? Businesses are already leaving. People are already moving out of this state. I've said before, I've said before that it's just expensive to live here, and these people are constantly digging in our pockets. Can you believe that? They're constantly digging in our pockets for something that they have. We didn't do this. We think this financial problem within the city. We did not cause this financial problem within the state. Politicians, they caused it, and they want us to pay for it. That's bull. They are going to raise taxes on homeowners, renters living in cardboard boxes. It doesn't matter. They want your money. If you're making $20 an hour or $2 an hour, they are going to get in your pocket. However, this $588 million tax, that is an Emmanuel proposal. Usually, the city council rubber stamps this guy. They just pass everything he just proposes. But I don't think this property tax is going to fly. People are saying no, hell no. I'm saying that hell no, no way. I don't want to pay. And property taxes are going to be paying for what? The fire department, the police department? Why? The police department can't even solve crime in this city. Why should we constantly pay them anything? You know, so you know, I got a manuscript here. Mayor Romuald canceled Tuesday to summon the political courage, the fortitude, the spine to pass this $588 million tax increase on Chicagoans. No. You don't need no political spine for this. What you need is common sense to say no, hell no. You find a way to fund your pensions, not on my back. You got me paying for schools, teachers' salaries. I don't have a loan. And this tax, what is it going to do? It's going to cause everything else to go up. The domino effect. Food is going to go higher, which is already out of this world. Rent are going to go through the roof. Some rents have already gone up, just speculating that this atrocity may get passed. I don't think it's going to pass. I think people are just sick of being nickeled and dimed. But I already have a Cook County tax. I have a state tax. Now we got this huge ass. What are these people thinking? They think we can't get up and move. They think we won't move out of the city. I live right next door to Evans. For me to get up out of here and move right next door, and it'll be Evanston, Illinois, instead of Chicago, Illinois, where things are much cheaper. Businesses are going to do the same thing. We got a governor who give a damn about getting a budget for the state. We have a mayor that's putting all these raising our taxes and causing everything. It's hard to live. We're being priced out. We have no choice but to move. And if everybody moves out of Chicago, where the hell is he? How is he going to get that money? The thing is, they're asking people, working people, poor people, grassroots people, to pay the bill. They're not asking corporations, Wall Street. They're not asking Soldier Field, Wrigley Field. On the ball, but he's putting it on the backs of property owners, and the property owners are going to put it on the backs of the renters. Instead of taxing the 1% right there, they always have to go after people, and they never give you a good explanation to why they never say that. They make things worse for the working people, make things worse for the poor, makes things worse. They will not go after the damn patients. The rich people who, some of the rich people say they don't mind paying more, but the governments and these guys, they will not go after the rich. Rahm Emanuel is one of the 1%ers. He's rich. Bruce Rauner is the 1%er. He's a billionaire. And these assholes always coming after the people with nothing. They could probably give up half of their salaries, but can't do that. They got to screw with the disabled. They got to screw with the babies, the daycare. They got to screw with the seniors, the elderly. They got to on the backs, and that's why the Pope in town to tell these assholes to lay off the people at the lower rung of the ladder. But they won't. They coming straight. And that's why I don't think this property tax is going to get passed. It shouldn't pass. And there are some aldermen saying that it won't pass. And you got a few aldermen that say, well, you know, my constituency, they knew it was coming. They don't mind paying taxes. You a lie. They did not know it was coming, and they do mind paying taxes. A rubber stamp for the mayor. But the mayor kicked back him in some kind of way, or her. This property tax, this $588 million property tax, is not going to fly. I think it's going to fail. Close vote, because some Democrats, some of these people are just going to vote against their own interests. They're going to vote against their own people. They're going to vote against their own constituency. They're going to vote against their own voters, because they just refuse to represent the people who voted for them. And that's one of the reasons why they should be kicked out of office when election time rolls around. Run somebody against them. That'll scare them, you know. And raising city property tax resort. Okay, this is a quote from the mayor, I believe. It is why we never increased them in my last 4 years. In the last 4 years, city budgets. But we must solve the pension challenge. I don't have to solve any pension problem. I'm not here to help bail out people who are, you know, making a lot more than do, or you do, or they do. The pension problem in the city is not my problem. I don't think it's your problem either. It's the problem of the poor. It's a It's a problem of Rahm Emanuel, and it's a problem of Bruce Rauner. They're trying to put that crap off on other people, and it's not working. It is not working. But they're going to take the damaging cuts and undermine all of the hard work and progress that we've made. Or we can raise property taxes to meet our obligation to police and firefighters who answer our call. You want to bet? Well, then it's overdue because you where I stand. Yeah, we know where you stand, too. You stand in some doo-doo if you think we're going to let you put this high-ass property tax on us in this city of Chicago. Stand, Mr. Mayor. It ain't going to happen. The price for finishing the job, as the mayor put it, will be extraordinary. The mayor's painful prescription includes a four-year $588 million property tax increase devoted exclusively to the police and fire pensions at a reduction fee of $9.50 per month per household. Ain't that something? Everybody's going to be paying it. I'm going to be paying it. I mean, you're going to be paying if you're in the city of Chicago. Doesn't matter. If you got it's just ridiculous. The amount that amounts to a property increase that would add $114 a year to the cost that heaps on 613,000 Chicago owners of a single family home, four that still get city pickups, garbage pickups. All right, this is George Water Jr. with George Water Jr.'s show. I think I need a drink of water or something. I will be right back. Let me see what we got here. All righty. Stay with me, everybody. All right, let's go. No audio there. Okay, we're back. Hopefully now. Let me see. Let's see if we can get it now. All right, we got it. All right. Thank you. Okay. All right, we're back. back. George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here on the Wilder Network. I don't know. I shouldn't say the Wilder Network because I really don't have a network. It's just like a – but I do present a lot of mind-blowing topics on this show. And this is – it's a super show. It just is. And I have some really, really – great topics and great things to talk about on the show. And one of the things is that we have to vote. I've talked about voting all the time on the show. I'll be talking about voting as long as I have the show, all the way up to 2016, because I think the important things we can do. And not only do we have to vote, we have to make sure that we vote for the right. Or take us back to the 18th century. You have to vote. You have to get out there and do something. You have to get your neighbors to vote. You have to get out there. And with these property taxes, and with this, Bruce Brown, and everybody in the city is talking about this guy. You know, he's vetoed. Like I said earlier, the legislature in Illinois gave him a budget, put a budget on his desk, and he vetoed it. That tells you right there that the guy does not want a budget. He wants to see strikes. He wants to see chaos. And he's seeing it. That just feels out, you know, to see this turmoil, to see people starving and thrown out in the street, can't go to a doctor, can't buy food, can't pay rent. I guess this is what he likes. This is what he's off on. He's mean, vindictive, and nasty. I'm not the only one that said that. Actually, I picked that up. I picked it up, and I'm using it on the show too. The guy is mean, vindictive, and nasty. And in that spending bill was a line to pay out lottery winners, to pay out lottery winners. Yeah, because without a budget in the state, even people can't get their lottery winnings. I didn't understand that, and I still don't. One of the things about the lottery winners, they can't go to a federal court and order that the state pay their lottery winners. That's not in the work, I understand. So a lot of the lottery winners are suing Bruce Rauner. I mean, when someone says they're suing the state, they're suing Bruce Rauner. And they're also suing Cullerton and Mackin. These guys are supposed to be the governing body of this state. But the only thing that's governing this state are court orders. There are 60,000 state workers in Illinois. And these guys are getting paid not by the governor, not by the legislature. The federal courts are making sure that these people get their checks. And that's a danger. That tells you right then and there that these people are not doing their jobs. Can't do crap. They're not doing anything. I can tell you what they're doing. Their page is not doing a damn thing. Their page. Rauner signing a lot of executive orders, stopping people from getting pay, but he's not stopping people from in the legislature from getting pay. He doesn't give a damn. If it wasn't for a court order, federal, these 60,000 workers, state workers would be getting paid, and Rauner wouldn't give two dams. And he's the governor. He wouldn't care. The thing is that we all have bills. Everybody have bills. You have bills, I have bills, and they must be paid. The state of Illinois has bills. They are obligated to pay those bills. But Rauner, Bruce Rauner, is stopping the bills from being paid. And therefore, in order to get those paid, the recipients have to go out and sue his ass. Get rid of this guy. I mean, I don't think he's going to make it. I mean, you can't really understand anything much about him because I don't know if I'm afraid to say much about him or. Oh, yeah, I got to say this. A couple of African Americans, a few of them, you know, who supported Rauner in the election of November 2014, they supported him. They went on television and commercials. They've been rewarded. Yeah, they have been rewarded for supporting this thing to get him elected. African American pre-clergy men on the south and west side of the city help Rauner get elected. I bet a lot of them they have to explain. I bet a lot of them had to explain to the congregation and their constituency how in the hell did they let that happen. You know, but I call them turncoats. You know, but a lot of them are probably wish they hadn't done. Now, because Rauner is, I mean, Rauner takes no prisoners. I mean, he's sorry. I mean, he didn't vote for him. It doesn't matter, you know. I mean, you know, except for those who are close to him who helped him get elected, he rewards them with jobs. Reverend James Meeks, oh, what a turncoat. Cory Brooks, oh, what a turncoat. Yeah. Cory Brooks said he's going to get. Salary to charity. Yeah, I bet. I bet. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It's 7:24 straight up. I guess it's time for open our eyes. If I can get this pop up out of here. All right, let's see. We talk gun control. We talk to. Okay, check this out, everybody. We're still here. We're going to hang around a few more minutes. Check it out. We got it? Oh.
Open eyes that we may see to follow thee. Thank you.
All right, Beck. Okay. Thanks for sticking around, everybody. Okay, we got it. Okay. Thanks for sticking around. This is Gerardo on the show. Don't forget to check me out on Amazon. My work on Amazon. Okay, we're just about the air right now, but let me say this. We got to get out here and make our voices heard. We've got to get mad. We got to get pissed. I'm not just talking about in Chicago, Illinois. We got to get angry. We got to get upset at some of the things that these people are trying to do to us. We just cannot sit back and take it. The more we sit back and take it, the more they're going to put it on us. I'm talking about violence in the city. I'm talking about high taxes. I'm talking about hurting the vulnerable, you know. And this is not what the Pope is all about. This is quite the opposite, you know. He's about love. He's about caring for people. These guys, Republicans, are not. They're not. At least the ones, when I say Republicans, I'm talking about elected to office. Because I know it's a lot of good Republicans out there. I'm just saying most of these asses that are elected in office who don't do that. Most of these people anyway. Somebody is telling them what to say and who to say it to and how to say it to. All right, this is George Wanda Jr., George Wanda Jr. Show. Goodbye, buddy.